broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 Anajar and Levine Studios.
This is Action Sports Chats with Brent Martineau.
He's another quick twitch guy, a guy who can get off the ball really quick. It's kind of harder to get hands on him, which is really well. So that's someone who I like going against. Getting the chance to go against him, twice a year back in Seattle, you know, to see him here and being that guy, you know, it's someone we definitely needed. Because it doesn't matter who's going against him, he's going to give you some good work. And that's the part that I need. Like I said, a twitch guy, me being a longer, lengthy guy, I got to be able to move just as fast as him. So that's someone who I definitely love going against. And he's going to do some huge things for us. I'm excited for him.
I was getting excited to listen to Shaq Griffin. That's who that was right there. I like that guy's energy, man. I think he has a chance to really, again, it's all about 3, 4, 5 picks, and whoa, big time year for Shaq Griffin potential. I talked to Tyson Campbell over the weekend. You'll hear that conversation. I think we'll save it for tomorrow. Man, oh, man, another impressive guy. Just looks like he's taking a big mental jump. Jack's going to have a really nice cornerback duo and trio if you add in Darius Williams, and we know that. I mean, that's something we've talked about. Super Bowl champ, played alongside Ramsey, signs a big deal, Creekside High School kid, and comes back home. Their secondary, I should say their secondary, because I think there's still a lot of questions about their safety position, but their cornerbacks, really, like, you don't have to leap too far to say that could be a really good unit.
Yeah.
And you hope it is. I mean, you hope it is. And Tyson Campbell has a chance, man. I said this last week. ETN, Tyson Campbell, they can get you excited. Like, they can get me excited going into this season. And if they do that, like, if they actually perform to the level where they get the fan base excited, which means they're making plays, this has a chance to speed up a lot faster when you have second-year guys.
Of the team.
Yes,
okay.
When you have second-year guys on both sides of the ball, like, listen, Trevor has to do it.
He's got to put it together.
Josh Allen has to do it. Eventually, Trayvon Walker has to do it. Christian Kirk, you just signed, he has to do it. Like, there are players that have to do it. And you'd like a lot of them to do it, but that's just not realist. Travis Etienne has the ability to do it. If he does that, and a guy like Tyson Campbell has shown some ability to do it, if those guys can really be stars at their positions, again, I'll repeat myself, this has a chance to really speed up in terms of the build of the Jags and where this team can go, not just this year, but down the road. If those guys are bona fide stars in the league for years to come.
He definitely throws some gas on that fire for sure.
That's important. You need that. You need to get lucky like that.
I don't disagree that the offense, it's really important to get it rolling. But looking at that defense, if they can get that secondary really shored up and give the guys up front this new form pass rush they're trying to put out there, you know, time to get home to the quarterback and allow guys like Trayvon Walker a little bit of a learning curve because the coverage is so good. I mean, it really, to your point, it really accelerates that whole thing. I think that secondary is key there to that defense, more so than any other phase over there.
Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz here on a Monday. Action Sports Checks on ESPN 690. I'm not the guy that brings up wrestling very often, right? You guys are wrestling fans. Casey, remind me how big of a wrestling fan are you?
Somewhat, slight.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
I thought you were a bigger wrestling fan than slight, too.
I saw a headline that Ric Flair wrestled his last match. Like, I think you could have put that headline out 30 years ago.
Well, I don't think he's wrestled besides this match in, like, a decade or something.
Has it been that long?
I think
it feels like he's just around the sport so much that you assume he might have jumped in the ring as a special appearance along the way. But, I mean, is there some significance in the sport you're wrestling, guys? How much significance at 73 years old to Ric Flair wrestling his final match? It wasn't Kobe Bryant's final game. It wasn't Derek Jeter's.
And before I get called out by anyone in the chat, I wouldn't call myself a big wrestling fan. But I certainly was, like, watching in the 80s and 90s where Flair was in his prime and a little bit of the Attitude Era. So, I mean, I was around it at the time where Flair was around more. But, you know, here's a guy who's had his problems pretty well documented personally and professionally. And to come back and close it out like this, I think it's a nice ending to the story for him.
Why's he still in a ring, man?
73 years old. Barely able to walk, this man.
I mean, 73.
He's not in good shape. You know what? I think you look at these guys, especially some of these older wrestlers, and maybe they're not as financially viable as they once were. Looking for a little bit of help on his way out the door. Maybe throw some money at the kids before it's all said and done. But, man, I mean, I was just talking to you about it in the break. Brent, I know my parents are in their early 70s also. Like, I couldn't imagine someone my dad's age getting in the ring. That's nuts.
The way I think about my 70s when I'm there and what I'm doing is, like, I just, first of all, hope I make it so I can at least enjoy a little bit of retirement.
You're alive,
My goal is actually to make 73 years old.
Why 73?
Because one of my life goals is at this stage, we're off to a good start. We just actually celebrated 23-year anniversary, Steph and I, this weekend. So
that's impressive, man.
Yeah, so I can get to 50 and still be alive.
So you want that 50th anniversary.
50, right? Because then I don't have to pay. I think I told you this already. I don't have to, I don't have to worry about, you know, giving half my money away or anything like that, right? Any of those kind of divorce kind of things.
What day was it?
What's that?
What day?
Yesterday.
That's Amanda and Brian Middleton's birthday.
Really? I thought I saw that it was Amanda's birthday. So a special shout out to Amanda, more so than Brian Middleton, but happy birthday to him too. It's Olivia Tassley's birthday as well on Sunday, which, by the way,
that's crazy.
Do you ever know anybody that celebrates a birthday for like a month?
I do, yes.
Yeah, well, Olivia Tassley fits that.
No offense
to
Olivia.
She seriously like celebrated her birthday for a month.
She seems like a really nice person, but I really kind of can't stand people who do that.
Yeah, it's honestly the
worst. Like, it's enough to celebrate you for a day. You're really going to make me do it 29 more? Come on. We get it. You were born at some point. We all were.
The only person
I like you a little better now. I like that.
The only person I've ever known that does that was a girlfriend of one of my friends back in the day. They no longer are together. but she kind of fits the, it is good for him. She kind of fits the description of what Aaron called some listeners the other day. I believe it was Lot Lizard.
That's not what I called a listener. I said maybe some of those people hang out at truck stops on I-95. Not necessarily listening to our show, but hanging out waiting on truckers to come through for some commerce. That's all.
Commerce.
Everyone's got to make a living.
Anyway, I'd like to live until 73 because that means I maybe get retired.
Yes,
50-year anniversary. But I'm not wrestling is what I'm getting around to, okay? Like, I want to play golf and sit on a porch.
I mean, will you even want to play golf at 73 years old?
Maybe not, but I don't want to wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long time to live that lifestyle, man. That is a hard lifestyle.
I mean, yes, it's hard for guys in their 30s.
But, like, I can see why guys like the rock bands and old musicians go back because there's so much money out there to be made.
It's also, if you could do it right, it's not as hard a lifestyle as maybe you made it when you were in your 20s and 30s touring 200 nights. Now you're taking the luxurious bus or the plane or something.
Maybe you're doing rush.
Yeah, you're doing like one or two shows a week. Instead, I know the older bands, when we try and ride them through the city, they insist on a night or two, if not more, off in between shows. When they were younger, when you talk about some of these younger bands, like these alternative bands that route through here, if you just find a one-day gap between like Atlanta and Tampa, you got Jacksonville calling them up, going, oh, shove them in here at the arena. We're all good. But you can't do it to, like, the Rolling Stones. They need, like, 4 days for, like, hip recovery in between concerts.
Yes, that's true.
So, I mean, the flair here. I mean, look, even forget 73. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the guy's still wrestling on a regular basis. He's in his, like, 60s or 50s as a guy who's, like, probably had 17 knee replacements.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
It's craziness.
We had Ric Flair on the show last year, too, on our Jaguars All Access. He was great. He was great. It was really cool to be around him. And I'm not, like, this huge wrestling guy. One more thing about wrestling. Did you see, like, the whatever? I don't even know what it was. They must have had a big wrestling event this weekend because I saw the tractor, like, tip over the ring.
No, I did not see that.
That was actually WWE. That was SummerSlam.
Oh, that was so SummerSlam.
I don't know what the Ric Flair is. Like, I honestly have no clue what you're talking about.
I just saw the headline on ESPN that he had wrestled. Like, it was a double tag team.
Yeah. I assume you're right. I didn't watch the whole SummerSlam, but yeah.
Did you see that?
The ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cowboy Brock.
You know, I will say this about, like, Tony Khan and AEW. I think they've really pushed the limits on things.
Oh, yeah.
And WWE does, too, I'm sure. I don't watch it every week. But for the fake wrestling guy, which obviously everybody kind of knows that's not a thing anymore. You don't have to defend it. Yeah. It is what it is.
I still don't like it being called fake, though.
They don't. But some of these stunts that they, I mean, it's like,
it's not fake.
Well, the wrestling part is.
It's like real life.
It's stunts, yeah. It's for real, sure.
That's the part that's real. That's what I'm arguing.
Because that was wild.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I will say the video that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a guy that's wrestling, but I just talked about it for 7 or 8
Also,
minutes.
Pat McAfee 2-0 in his WWE career.
Yeah, and by the way,
took a win over Happy Corbin.
I'm a big fan of McAfee.
What?
Like, I like him. I think it's really cool what he's done.
You don't, if you're going to.
But the rest, Brent, like the, Brent, the, that moment.
If you're going to disrespect a man for getting into a ring in a career that he didn't do and is flying around from the top rope and putting up pretty cool moves, just don't do it. Just miss him with all of that. Listen, you couldn't do it. It's a tough thing to do to jump into the ring and do the stuff he's doing. Just miss him with it if you're going to disrespect him.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool move that was in, like, slow motion. Like, the whole thing was in slow motion. Like, are we choreographing too much? Are we forcing it is my question with McAfee.
No, he's fine.
So you have no problem with that?
No.
See, like, I feel like Jake Paul,
same deal. Or okay, Logan Paul, sorry.
Okay. Logan looked good. I saw a couple of backflips off that ring, man.
Logan looked really good.
Yeah, but, like, Logan Paul and guys like that, a lot of times on this show, we've kind of poked fun at.
Sure.
For doing some of those things. But that guy is an athlete. I mean, he's built like a Greek god, too.
They're both doing things that they just started doing within the last couple years.
I get it.
So practice a little more.
Casey, what do you think Brent's finishing move would be? I think it would be something he'd have to, like, go to the corner and, like, real quietly be hiding behind his back like the old guys used to do with snakes or powder. So take out one of these mics and just, boom, right on the top of the head against the other guy, smack someone across the head with it or something.
I will say that the McAfee move was cool. The whole setup of it kind of felt like it took forever.
Okay, well, the setup is wrestling, the part that you call fake. That's fine. But the move itself is what we're talking about.
Yeah, the move was good.
The stuff that those two guys are doing, backflipping off a top rope, is not something that an NFL, like Logan Cook's not doing that.
Yeah,
it was a punter 3 years ago.
I respect it. I'm just wondering, in the wrestling world, does it have to be done at a speed and like an expertise to appreciate, like, for the real wrestling fans, or is he such a big name that it doesn't matter because he's, like, you're defending him because he's doing all these things that aren't really his real job?
I think what you get at those crowds are an audience that's already there with you and buying in. Like, even bad wrestlers who don't do the moves well, who aren't choreographed well, I think get a certain amount of grace from the fans who just want to be in the moment.
Yeah.
That being said, you hear a lot from wrestlers that these guys who don't perform correctly in the ring risk injury not only to themselves but to their wrestling
to the other wrestlers.
That is true, and that just kind of shows, like, for Baron Corbin, the guy that McAfee was going against, like, how talented he is. Like, you know, because you don't get in a ring if you're not prepared for something like that with that type of guy. So Baron Corbin, like, is so advanced in what he does that he's ready for something like that.
Yeah, I hear what he's saying, but let me just make one analogy here, Casey. Like, half the world ripped Tim Tebow for trying out as a tight end because it didn't look like it belonged, but we're celebrating and we're cool with, okay, like, Pat McAfee trying to be a wrestler.
Because the NFL's real.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm not arguing that the WWE's fake. I'm just saying, like, nobody's going to pull up on Tebow. They're going to take his head off.
I think Tebow came in with hate already installed. It doesn't matter what position, like, he was going to play. Someone was going to hate on him.
But, you know, it doesn't look as right. You know, that's my point. Like, it doesn't look as seamless. And I understand there's a real nature to the sport, but they're very two popular figures trying to do something else, and they don't do it at the speed that everybody else and the expertise that everybody else does. Yet it does feel like one gets knocked and the other one certainly is perceived to be.
But
wow, that's awesome.
I don't disagree with you, but also when you get these matches that go 30, 40 minutes, watch some of the finisher. Like,
yeah, because they're dead tired.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, they should shorten the matches so they can make the finishers look more real at the end, because that's a very common thing with, like, just at the end of a long match. So, yeah, I mean, but the thing is with the WWE, like, those people love McAfee because of the commentary he does.
Yeah, yeah, I hear
like,
you.
He's fit in so well that he almost can do no wrong. The Logan Paul thing is interesting because Logan Paul's better than McAfee in the ring. And I don't know if they love him as much yet, but he legit is kind of good.
Well, has there ever been a more natural heel either?
Than Logan Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Not really. Yeah, it's pretty easy. And same thing with McAfee. Has there ever been a better babyface? Like,
or a guy who can cut a promo, like, just, on a moment's notice.
It just makes too much sense. When they try to flip him heel, it's going to be wild.
That's the crazy thing about the whole McAfee thing. Like, I'm trying not to really, like, rip him. I'm just keeping it real of what I see, because he's an unbelievable story.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from just what it's amazing.
Turning a podcast into a nine-figure deal, I think that's amazing in and of itself.
Well, I mean, he might be the most popular sports commentator, talker.
Yeah. He's probably reaching more people than anybody else.
Yeah, and by the way, he was a freaking punter.
Good one.
Can we see if he can kick field goals?
Oh, fun fact, he can.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't know about touchbacks, but,
so, you know.
Anyway, that's I wanted to get those wrestling topics off my mind.
How's that feel now?
Hope you didn't mind.
You feel cleansed?
I feel better.
Right.
I didn't see it morphing into a 15-minute segment, but I do feel better.
Do you want to keep going?
I still want to know what your wrestling outfit would look. We know your finishing move now. It's the mic over the head. Are you wearing the singlet, or are you going the spandex Speedo thing?
Probably the... why can't I wear, like, the yoga pants?
You could. I just would prefer you in the Speedo.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment that you would like to see me in a Speedo.
Throw that big back tattoo on you. We'll get you all ready.
Why haven't we done the story on Gotsis and the tattoo yet? We keep bringing this up, but we got to do it. You got to remind me in my planning meetings when I'm requesting people.
We do.
We
the problem is every time we start talking about it, we lose you for 10 minutes as you're staring at the phone into this thing. It like mesmerizes you.
It's a mesmerizing moment. Anything new with your Jets as I continue to look at that disgusting shirt?
So there's a couple of storylines out there, but I think first and foremost, the conversation continues to circle around Zach Wilson. Is he good or not?
Hide your moms!
And Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, going to right tackle.
Yeah. Now, that was the story from even before camp. There were rumblings about that, especially because George Fant's contract was up, so they were just about to sign him to another deal. Fant played so well last year, but the thing about Becton was the rumor was that he came in at like 400-plus pounds to the offseason activities.
He is a big dude.
Rich Samini comes out there and says, hey, Mekhi's looking a little big. And then that was the chip on his shoulder he needed. He came back to camp when camp opened a good 40, 50 pounds lighter. Must have had surgery or something. I don't know how he gets down that quickly. It was 26 days. It might have been, but that's real deal surgery, by the way. I don't know how much you know about that, Casey.
I know absolutely zero.
Your buddy Aaron looked into it because sometimes I can be a little bit chubby. But it's a legit surgery. They go in there and, like, shred your fat with a big needle and suck that thing out.
Wow.
You really, you can't move too much for, like, 6 to 8 weeks. And then if you don't do the PT that comes with it, you don't do the physical therapy, you get fat pockets where they suck the fat out. It just kind of globs up in there. So you really do have to, like, maintenance your body to the surgery.
Can I suggest body sculpting at iCryo?
That's probably a better option. You melt that fat right off.
That sounds safer.
I need some of that right in the chest area. I think I'm working on a C-cup right now. Holy smokes.
What's got to you?
Summer? True story, first of all. The summer... Unless
it's the most intense I've seen Aaron yet.
It's like 2.5 years long this summer, if that's what it is. True story, by the way. Saturday afternoon, I'm trying to get on my back roller, my foam roller, because I got this bad back, because clearly I'm 87 years old. And I take my shirt off, which should be an appetizing thought to you, but my daughter, who's 4, bless her heart, super truthful, most honest person in the house, looks at me. She goes, gross, Dad. I'm like, you can sleep in the backyard, little girl. I'm going to go use this foam roller. Oh, it was humiliating.
4 o'clock. I'm 4 years old.
4 years. My wife's looking at her like, you're telling me, man. Jeez. Holy smokes.
Keeping it real. In the shack their house.
Let it
go
down. Man.
Well, there you go.
Send me to iCryo.
But I tell you what, if the Jets look anything like you with your shirt off, they're in trouble.
They are. For real, for real.
We will take a break. I have no idea how we got there. But we started with Ric Flair and got to Aaron with his shirt off.
Brent and Speedos, and me with my shirt off. It's a hot show here today. Amazing.
Can we talk about Josh Hader when we come back? Because that's what the people in the chat want. It's also what I want.
Really? Yeah, because I am fascinated with that move.
It is world class. Like, I don't want to say
stupid.
Can we
get Austin on real quick? We dial him up. See what he thinks about it.
Yeah.
Brewer fan.
I don't know about that.
Forgot about that, though. Wisconsin.
I'll see if my number's still blocked.
We'll be back. Action Sports Jacks on ESPN 690.
The Padres have been the presumptive favorite because they have Robert Hassel and C.J. Abrams. They have James Wood and Jackson Merrill, Mackenzie Gore, these really good, talented, young, under-control players who they are willing to move.
That is Jeff Passan from ESPN. Brent Morton, Casey Kurtz, Aaron Schachter, Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690. Trade deadline tomorrow. Remember the trade deadline used to be on July 31st, like all the time?
Yep.
And they moved it to like a Tuesday of that week, I think. I'm pretty sure that's fairly recent that they did that.
It is.
Major League Baseball trade deadline long has been the one that's the most fascinating. And this year, no different, especially if you get Juan Soto. Is Juan Soto going to move?
It looks like it. I mean, they're taking their time with it.
To?
They have to because they can't re-sign him. They went back with one more offer last week, I think, when it was all said and done, and he still told them no. I think he just wants out.
I mean, as Passan just said, the Padres somehow pull off a trade for the best reliever in baseball and don't give up Abrams or Hassel, which is mind-blowing to me. So you have plenty of prospects to give up for Juan Soto.
That's a ridiculous team with Juan Soto and everybody else they've got.
Yeah, and they just signed Joe Musgrove today. They extended him. Like, I don't. The Padres thing is so odd to me because, like it's working, but it's not. Like, they're still not the Dodgers. Like, even with Juan Soto, they're still not the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are just sitting there watching.
By the way,
they're already so good.
The Dodgers are every bit as good as the Yankees, and nobody's talking about the Dodgers.
I don't know, but nobody, but certainly not here. Yeah,
I mean, the Yankees have got all the headlines this year, and rightfully so. They've played so well. And Judge has been awesome. I think that's the key, right? I mean, Judge is
home run hitter,
every time. I don't get this. I don't get the hater. The hater move. Josh Hader, by the way, is who we're talking about. Fantastic reliever for years and years. Almost like an unhittable guy for the Brewers. Who are they still in first place, the Brewers?
They are in first place, and they traded their best player today.
That's crazy.
Like, really, they might be their best player.
No. He might. There's no might. Josh Hader's their best player. Josh Hader is the best reliever in baseball. He didn't give up a run for like months this season. He had a really bad stretch, and his ERA is kind of overblown now. But like the first 2 months of the season, he didn't give up a run. Like, he's incredible. He's disgusting. Like, all the adjectives or whatever those are that you could use, that's him. And he's so, so good. And the Brewers traded him and didn't end up with Abrams or Hassel, which I love prospects, so I know who those people are. But they're highly rated prospects, just trust me. I don't fully understand. Like, the Brewers get back Rogers, who was the Padres' closer. Great, fantastic. But, yeah, you're in first place and you sell your closer is mind-blowing to me.
Can you imagine, like, I don't have a good feel for the Milwaukee market and how much they love the Brewers. I'm sure they do.
Oh,
I
mean,
the
yes.
Bucks, they came alive for the Bucks, though. I'm just saying, like, do they really feel like the Brewers are so good to win a World Series? I mean, they've had a lot of lean years in Milwaukee, although they've been way more competitive over the last handful of years. But can you imagine, like, what the reaction is in that town? Like, seriously, you trade that guy that might help you win a World Series?
Well, I'm not going to pretend like the Brewers are a bigger deal than the Packers out in Wisconsin or Milwaukee, but Brewers are a pretty big deal out there. Like, people take it pretty seriously. So I can't imagine this is going over well.
Yeah, anybody takes anybody seriously if you're in first place, too.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm like, if we were doing a show in Milwaukee, I can't imagine anybody's happy. Like, the only thing that
it must be awesome today
for well, the guys talking.
The hosts are happy. Yeah, I'm talking about the fans. Like, you have Devin Williams. Like, he's a guy that you could go put in the closer role. He's absolutely disgusting as well. You are getting Rogers back, so you could close him, but it's not enough for me. You didn't get any of the top prospects from San Diego, and you lost your best player. Like, it's very, very confusing unless there's another move coming down the pipeline that
makes it all make sense.
But I don't know what that would be because you already had the best closer in the league.
The only other thing is that Hader is a free agent after 2023.
After 23?
Yeah, not even this season.
You got a whole other year. And the Brewers are not really like a – they're like, win now.
I was going to say, though, are they a cheap? They're not like the Rays and Pirates and A's.
But they're not constantly building for the next generation, no.
They're not that cheap, but, like, they're going to have to pay all these people. Woodruff and Burns are about to have to get paid. Yelich is already paid. So, like, their window's not super, like, it's right now. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Unless they just realize they're not good enough. Which they're not, by the
this
way.
This is how we... I'm reading an article on Hader and trying to make sense of it and trying to see, like, is there some metric that says, well, his fastball is even faster than it was, like, back in April. And they said, the one shift is that Hader has lost some vertical break. Like, compared to earlier in the season.
So, like, his 12-6 is like a 12-5 now?
I'm on baseball, and I'm like, I don't even know what the hell that means. Like, how am I supposed to compute that? Like, oh, Josh Hader, he's not as good as he was in April because he has not as much vertical break.
He has been off a little bit in the month of July, a lot of it for Hader standards in the month of July.
Yeah. But it's been a bad month.
It's a blip.
It's a blip. Yeah, shout out to the Padres. That's all I got to say.
I'll tell you what, though. This feels like this almost feels like the New England Patriots kind of move.
Yeah, just dumping a guy before it's time to dump him, and then it works out for them.
And it's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Because then you go get high value. But are the Padres in play for Juan Soto with all those
prospects? They didn't give up anybody.
And they didn't give up any of them.
Yeah. Yes.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, the Nationals, if they can get Abrams and Hassel and a couple of these others, like, it's a win-win.
I don't know of anything I've seen like this. Seriously, maybe they would debate whether he's the best player. He's had a tough month of July, but he's been so good for so long. Mm-hmm. Can you remember a baseball team especially, but even any team just unloading a guy. Again, it does remind me of the Patriots and, like, Stephon Gilmore. They just didn't want to pay him.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But, true. Again, to your point, like, they've still got another year to worry about paying Hader again.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I don't get it. Maybe there's something. Maybe there's dirt. Maybe there's something coming up.
I'm looking at all the return they got back and the fact that it's prospect heavy, obviously. And I'm like, well, maybe Milwaukee needed a little bit of a refresher in their farm system.
Yeah, their system is not good. Their farm system's bad, but if you win the World Series this year, who cares?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, if you're in contention to go place. All the way, like, who's looking at you going, but your farm system?
Well, but it is super important to have a healthy farm system to win and sustain winning.
For long term, sure, but you know better than anybody else.
To maybe win the title.
And also, farm systems in baseball, you hear about a guy and then suddenly, me and Casey, I think we were just talking about this recently, like, you hear about a guy picked high in the draft, or he's a big prospect, and then 2 or 3 years later, he disappeared, and you're like, whatever happened to that guy? It just never develops sometimes in baseball.
The Yankees just picked up a couple guys. Frankie Montas.
Oh, really?
And reliever Lou Trevino from the A's.
They've been chasing arms.
What did they give up?
This just happened, by the way. This is breaking news.
Also, I got another one. Trey Mancini's heading to the Astros.
They were talking about that
inside the park home run.
His speedster move?
Yeah, after he domed Josh Lowe, who got sent down, by the way.
Yeah, so
topped out at 2 miles an hour running the bases.
Let's see. July, where's New York?
This is awesome. It feels like tomorrow.
They're not doing a good job of giving me exactly what happened in that trade. They just said they got guys.
They might not know it yet.
So, I don't
see. It's actually they've made a couple of moves today.
The Yankees?
Yeah.
Well, the Yankees, they got Benintendi.
Then they got F. Ross from the Cubs.
They did.
It was another arm. I mean, they're chasing arms right now.
Well, they wanted to bolster that pitching that I think topped out in the first half of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the return's not in yet for Montas.
It's just not in. Okay. That's pretty wild, too, right? Where, like, in almost every trade, you go, like, you can figure it out right away. They're trading this guy for that guy. But in baseball, it could be trading him for, like, 14 prospects.
The vending machine and, like, the rights to the parking lot in 10 years. Like, it's such weird. What a weird league, too. Like, no salary cap or anything. All the money's guaranteed. Like, you don't see another sport like this.
Okay, so Juan Soto we think's going to get traded, but we have no idea really who's going to get traded to. Padres are a suitor. There are probably several. Yankees could be a suitor.
I think Yankees are out. I think we're down to, like, 3 teams.
Wow, they gave up Ken Waldichuk. This guy's, like, 2 strikeouts an inning for the Yankees.
I love Casey loves it. He knows all these, like, minor league guys. It's impressive, actually.
Wow. And Luis Medina. He was supposed to.
Do you have both their autographs?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay.
Haven't bothered them yet, have you?
That's it. I haven't. That's a good return, though, for Oakland.
No, they beefed up a little bit.
For the lack of a better term, for people just listening on the radio, it's 4 minor league players. One of them has averages two strikeouts an inning right now in the minors. But it is not the Yankees' number one prospect or anything like that.
Yeah, Yankees' farm system's pretty strong and has been. That's kind of in part why they've been able to beef up this entire roster. One other guy real quick, Shohei Ohtani. Is he staying or is he going by tomorrow afternoon?
It looks like he's staying, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was a report that the White Sox really, really tried, and they.
So did the Mets. Mets came sniffing around. Steve Cohen likes to spend. And they're like, it doesn't seem like the Angels are serious about moving the guy.
Yeah.
How did the Angels fix themselves?
By trading these type of people when they have the opportunity to do so?
Yeah, they're a long way off.
Like
could they keep Trout and him and build around, just restart around him?
I mean, not unless you're going to go back in time and draft better players.
And that's the point when you're developing.
Trout's 30, bro.
Yeah, when you're developing a baseball team through the minors, you're talking, 4 or 5 seasons before you start seeing some real payoff in the majors. These guys will be out of their prime at this point.
I mean, they drafted Marsh and they drafted Ward and the other dude, I can't think of his name. And they're good. They're just not great. I don't know what the deal is with the Angels. They don't have a single dude who's ever identified anybody that can ever pitch. I don't know what they're doing, but every prospect pitcher they have is not good.
Now, over the years, the Angels have had their fair share of decent pitching, but you're right.
Like, Reed Detmers, the guy through the no-hitter, he's okay at best, but, like, they sent him down after he hit the no-hitter because
he was
bad.
Even bring in guys like Noah Syndergaard, who's a good pitcher, but...
Yeah, like, they just... Their pitching talent advisor guy just shouldn't have a job.
I still think it's an amazing story. I'm not sure if you can. I haven't read up on it, but the Angels going from where they were, like 8 games ahead of everybody, to now like 30 games behind everybody. has got to be one of the just biggest collapses ever in terms of the amount of games. Like, I'm sure people in the course of a season 6 weeks in have gone from first to worst, but, I mean, the amount of games that they have dropped, that's just nuts.
That's another thing about baseball. Like, barring an injury in the NBA, you don't see it in the NBA or the NFL for that matter, where a team that's amazing to start the season just maybe you could say it about the Colts last year, but, I mean, there are these teams who, like, they're fairly consistent in the NFL, fairly consistent in the NBA, give or take, but in baseball, you constantly have these stories of a team 8, 9, 10 games up and then suddenly 5 games back. I think it's just a product of how many games they're playing.
Well, it's a long season, right? And injuries can dictate, especially starting rotation can really dictate.
Oh, yeah.
And you can be built for a few weeks in Major League Baseball and go on a run. But look at the Red Sox are a great example. Red Sox went like they were awful. They went 25-4 and looked like they were going to be a factor. And now they stink.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had 3 different seasons essentially in the course of one, and we've still got like 50 games to go.
Still got a half season
or 60 games to go. I'll tell you who most recently did that. It seems like, I feel like, it are the Cardinals in the football in NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, they were what, 8-0? Or maybe even got the 9-0, but they were definitely 8-0.
They were the darlings, last year, and then it all kind of fell apart for them.
But just by the way, just to hammer this point home, what a return from Oakland. Well done. A+, whoever worked that trade out. All pitching. Oakland has no pitching. They have position players that are good. No pitching, and they get 3 pitchers that are supposed to be legit. Great job by Oakland.
Well,
I know nobody cares, but I'm just telling you, great job.
Well,
by Oakland.
Here's the thing. Nobody, first of all, nobody does care. But secondly, I don't even know if we could like challenge that because I have no idea who these guys are. Like,
yeah.
Again, you know the minor league baseball system like for some reason.
Like they chased pitching, which was smart from them because they don't have any of it. So
yeah, it just takes some space in his head that he could easily use for things that could like be valuable to him.
Oakland makes a lot. Listen, this Oakland makes a lot of yet. Oakland's a lot like the Rays over the years. It makes
very
a lot of
so.
Wise decisions.
Same business model.
And it's like the Pirates, they're not going to spend money, but they can't figure out how to make those wise decisions. In fact, the Rays have, pulled a fast one, it seems like, on the Pirates once or twice over the last
few
years.
There was a few years back.
Austin Meadows trade, and who was that? Who did they give up at the time? What's his name, the pitcher?
It was Archer for Shane Boss, Austin Meadows, and Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, I mean, how the Pirates trade that? Like, they didn't see that any of that coming? Maybe not all of that coming, but any of that coming?
Yeah, it's absolutely brutal.
Oh, man, it's pretty wild. I do think the A's are about as irrelevant as you can get in any franchise in sports, even though they've had and found success. Like, the Pirates have such a traditional, like, following, and I don't feel like that to me, that they're irrelevant, even though they kind of are. But the A's just stuck on the West Coast in a crappy stadium and hardly ever trying to, like, really,
A's have
really
been
win.
Like a second-class citizen in one of the most populated areas in the country, that Bay Area.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got their gazes affixed elsewhere than the Oakland A's. Then you talk about the Pirates, you know, from Pittsburgh, where these guys wear that team on their sleeve along with the Steelers, like, and college teams.
You know what's crazy is there are a lot more teams that function like the A's in Major League Baseball than probably we sit here and add up. Like, the Pirates are one. The Reds kind of follow in that same group.
The Twins
do
it.
You just said the Brewers kind of do it. The Twins do feel like do it. The Rays do it. The Royals do it.
Royals do it.
Do the Diamondbacks kind of work that way? Or are they willing to go spend and stuff? I don't know.
They've spent in the past, but not recently.
But that's like, I just named, I mean, almost like a quarter of the league, if not close to a third of the league, operate very much unlike teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the Cubs and even the Angels have, and now the Padres are seemingly doing. And then there's like this middle ground. There's like, oh, by the way, you could throw the Marlins in, but the Orioles could spend if they wanted to. They just have tried to figure this thing out and they can't. The Braves will spend. So it's, I don't know, it's like this three-tiered system in Major League Baseball, and they play a different game when they're assembling teams. That's my point.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you play the same game. In the NBA, you kind of play the same game, and that's, well, that's what happens when you don't have a salary cap.
So
you play three different leagues, essentially, in Major League Baseball. Trade deadline coming up tomorrow. We'll see. Again, the big ones, Juan Soto is the big piece. To have someone of his stature, talent, like skill set, on the move, looks like it's happening. When will it happen? Looks like Ohtani will stay put.
Don't sleep on this Trey Mancini thing.
What about it?
He's going to Houston.
Well, you think that's like a pivotal move, like a quiet Big yes. move?
Yes. He's very good. And Houston is also very good.
Houston is excellent.
Well, so he's like, a big hitter in a hitter's ballpark now.
Yeah, he will fit in just like he's the – they finally have a dude that is a power hitter for – like Altuve does it, but like it's weird. Same with Bregman. Like this is a guy that's going to bat fourth in maybe the best lineup in the league, in the American League.
Yeah, be interesting. I think Houston's extremely dangerous to the Yankees. And that's really what this whole season is about. Can you catch the Yankees win it?
can you catch up?
It's at this point, it's literally Padres, Dodgers, Mets, Yankees, Astros. It's going to be one of those five.
I would agree. I heard Mets and Yankees are out. I think we're just at Astros, Padres, Dodgers at this point.
And by the way, the Brewers just said, hey, we don't want to be a part of that conversation Casey just brought up because we just got rid of our best player.
Yep. Yeah, but maybe.
So bizarre.
It's very weird, but maybe they're like literally looking at like we're not the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Like maybe. We can't even get lucky in seven games. That's pretty much what they said.
Yeah.
We can't find a way to win four of those.
So let's make sure we're good for the next 5 years by starting to accumulate some talent, I guess. I don't know.
It's weird.
It is. That's a weird move. It's kind of a bizarre thing. You just give up your best player when you're in first place. Like, that is just odd. Doesn't
never seen
happen.
It. Never
just
seen
doesn't
it.
Happen. We'll be back. Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690.
Completely rule it out. I mean, I think that they'll have a discussion about maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, since there don't seem to be a lot of other suitors right now. You know, maybe he comes cheap. Maybe they can rework the deal. But right now, I think the plan is Jacoby Brissett. And I think they feel like six games, they can ride it out. You know, the schedule is pretty favorable the first month of the season. They feel like they could maybe be a 4-2, give or take, by the time Deshaun Watson comes back, which would keep them squarely in the mix. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I think right now the plan is Jacoby Brissett.
Is anybody in there?
I'm in here.
Hi.
Okay, just checking. Nobody looked like they were ready.
I'm ready. I just heard Aaron go, whoops.
That was on me. I didn't mean to freak everyone out. Sorry.
What are we whoopsing about?
I just had a little computer thing happening here, and then it dawned on me as we're about to turn on the mics. Realized it's a bad thing to say.
He's always tinkering.
I do tinker a lot.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
I don't want to distract you.
Just don't pull the plug on us, but I like the tinkering. Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz here on a Monday, Canton, Ohio week. It's also high school football week as it gets going. We have high school media day today. You know what's so amazing? First of all, it's just how big high school football has gotten around the country, not just here in Jacksonville. But it's, everybody does shows. I mean, we do multiple shows. We have media days. Obviously, the recruiting scene is off the charts, crazy. High school football is a big deal.
How's that work with recruiting? I never understood that. Because aren't you supposed to play at whatever high school you're zoned for unless it's like one of these prep schools?
Oh, you mean recruiting in high school.
yeah,
that is a thing, too.
All right, I didn't realize you were talking about
college recruiting. I was talking about, college recruiting.
Okay.
But no, that high makes school, more sense. It's free agent Florida. You can go.
Because I know some of that kind of happens. So.
Oh, no, more than some. Like, we were having a big discussion. It's probably unhealthy how many high school kids now jump from school to school. And somebody was actually telling me it's in like the bylaws of like FHSAA that you're not allowed to transfer from one school to another for athletic reasons. So,
but it happens anyway.
Because I guess you can do it under the academic reason.
Sure.
Even though if you're going from like, if you're playing at four different high schools in 4 years, what academic reasons are you bringing to the table?
I don't like my chemistry teacher again.
There's a lot of slippery slope stuff going on in high school. One of the big things is there has to be, like, a seat open to be able to transfer in. And, like, St. John's County, as you know, like, there are not a lot of seats. Like, everything, you're in portables.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make a case to go to, like, St. John's County School unless you're in one of, like, their programs, like their academic programs.
But if you're talking, like, a kid who's ultimately going to be a 3-4-5-star recruit, maybe you find a way to make the space.
Yeah, and I just don't – what I don't understand about that part of it in high school – is I feel like people are going to find you. It's almost impossible to fall through the cracks in recruiting this day and age. If you're good, people find you. Now, that's not to say it doesn't happen. And it's really harder at the lower levels. We started a new segment this past year on our Blitz Scoreboard show called Committed to the Uncommitted, because through COVID, log jamming up the college system and all the transfer portal stuff, the high school kid is getting left out a little bit. And so what a lot of kids think is like, hey, if I go to the school where everybody else is going to get recruited, I'll get recruited too. I understand that way of thinking. I just don't know if I fully believe it. Because, again, there's video, there's camps, there's 7-on-7. There's a lot of different ways to get noticed. You have to find the avenue that's right to you, and that's tricky. It's not always the easiest thing. But I don't just think going to play with a high school that's really good
is a guarantee.
Is the only way to go do it.
Certainly helps, though, to have more often have people come into those games than you would at maybe one of the lesser-known high schools.
I would think that I see the logic involved in it, but it's a danger zone. It's a... for the high schools. A big difference this year in high school football, by the way, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but the classification changes. They have a metro division and a suburban division now, and the idea was more equity throughout the state. 88% of the state championships or something the last decade or however long was won by the same counties in the state of Florida.
Actually, I heard you guys,
counties.
I think you were talking to Bulls head coach when I heard you guys talking about this a little bit earlier today, but it's very interesting.
So it's a huge change in high school football, and high school football has really tried to tinker with the playoff system and the way to do it right and get more equity in the game. And there will be some folks that don't like it and get left out and they'll have a beef. And then there'll be others that really benefit from it. That's just the nature of the system. There's no blueprint to do it. A couple of things. Really wanted to bring high school up. First of all, huge shout out to Baker Sports and Jaguars Prep, Josh Baker, Adriel Rocha, everybody that helped put this on today. And they do a great job. And it's really a big benefit to the media. But I think it's a huge benefit to the kids. And the kids get a chance to sit in front of microphones, have discussions. And what I've found over this kid, this day and age, is really good at it.
Media savvy?
Oh, so
good
at it. They've
been doing Facebook Live since eight years old.
So good at it. And you're right. They know it. They see it. They know what it looks like. They kind of want to be a part of it so they're not afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we used to talk to high school kids. It would be the toughest interview you could do.
They're shy. They're scared of the cam. These kids have been holding cams in front of their faces their whole lives.
I'm just so impressed with, in this instance, the young men that you see in front of the microphone or not even in front of the microphone, just talking.
Yeah.
And there were some really good ones. So if you get a chance to go back and look at our webcast today, we had it on my Twitter and ESPN 690 Twitter and Facebook, Action News Jax, and all our social media channels. And we'll put even more up. Big shout out to Stuart Weber and Olivia Tassley. They did million interviews, it felt like. But I had some kids stop by, like Roderick Kearney, who's going to Florida State, an offensive lineman.
I saw Lil Hicken in there.
Did have him stop by, too. He's good at it as well. And we had Jordan Hall as a top 100 player. This kid was awesome, man.
Yeah.
His personality was so good. And so just a couple of examples, and there were more, of I think you'll be really impressed with the kid, the student athlete today. And I think kids sometimes get a bad rap. But I think they deserve a shout-out for that. The personality, the maturity, the ability to handle those situations, pretty cool. Well, football at 5 coming up. And, again, don't forget, you can check out all the high school coverage on our social media channels from Baker Sports Media Day earlier today.